The sun's shining, birds are singing, and all feels right in the world.
Until the season changes, and suddenly you lose your motivation to get out of bed. In fact, 1 in 5 people experience some form of depression, no matter the season or time of year.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all, because we want you to live your best life and be your best you all year round.
Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
This is the Spurs Cast with your host, Paul Garcia.
And welcome back to another episode of the Spurs Cast. In today's episode, I'll discuss the San Antonio Spurs' lottery results, update their cap sheet, and discuss Victor Wembanyama winning the Rookie of the Year award. So I know it's been quite a while since I last recorded a Spurs Cast episode, but I'm really excited to jump into today's episode. This is being recorded on Sunday evening, right after we got the lottery results for the San Antonio Spurs. So let's go ahead and jump first into the Spurs' picks that they will have in the NBA draft for 2024. So as the lottery went through on Sunday afternoon, the Spurs got lucky twice. So they didn't get as lucky as last year, where last year, of course, they got the number one pick and ended up drafting Wemby. But they still did better than they were supposed to do here at both getting the Toronto Raptors' pick and also getting their own pick a little bit better than they were supposed to. So first, for the Raptors pick, the Spurs would not have gotten the Raptors pick if it had landed anywhere 1 through 6. So the Spurs got lucky here in the fact that Toronto's pick landed 8th. And so that means that San Antonio does get to have the Raptors pick. So the Spurs will have the Raptors pick as one of the top 10 picks. Then just looking at the Spurs as they finished with the 5th worst record, you know, we would just say, you know, going by record, they should have got the 5th pick. But no, they actually did better here. They got in the top 4. They got the 4th pick. So the Spurs will have two top 10 picks in the 2024 NBA draft. They're at 4 and at 8. So looking real quick before we dive into some cap space numbers for the Spurs, let's just talk about some of the early projections of who is which players, prospects are mocked here in the 4 through 8 range. And so, you know, these mocks are going to change. You know, the one that I'm showing you here on the screen for those of you watching visually, these were a lot of these mocks were done before the draft, the lottery. And then there's going to be some changes, you know, as combines happen, as players go through workouts with teams, as players have interviews with teams. So it's going to change a little bit differently before the actual draft gets here in late June. So if you're looking for, let's just go through, I'm going to go basically by position, kind of how I have some of these prospects, as I've been digging into some of these top 10 prospects. So if you're looking more so for, for the Spurs to add like a wing, like a small forward type of player. The first player who's on most of the mocks is Zachary Risitcher. Unfortunately for the Spurs, his mock average is about 3rd. So he's probably, I would just say he's probably going to be off the board before they get to the number 4 pick. So again, if they really want him, I think they would have to try to figure out a way to trade up, which I don't know if they would do that in this draft. So again, right now, unless one of the first three teams does not take Risitcher, which is Atlanta, Washington, or Houston, unless one of those three teams avoids taking Risitcher, then it looks like that's the only way the Spurs would have a chance to get him if he were to fall out of the top 3 and end up number 4. But right now, most mocks do have him about 1 or 2, so he's probably going to get selected before the Spurs is picked there at 4. If you're looking for another player there at the small forward position, another player who I think the Spurs should take at with the 8th pick if he's there is Ron Holland of G League Ignite. So he should be there because his mock average is about 10th. So it would be right now, just based on the mocks, it would be a little bit of a small reach, not a major reach for the Spurs to take him at 8th. Again, he's a player that, you know, maybe he's not ready to start yet in the NBA. He still needs to learn to grow and develop, but you could at least give him some minutes off the bench early on, see what he turns into. So again, Ron Holland's also an option there with that 8th pick. And then another player who's a little bit older, though, compared to some of these other players, is Dalton Knecht. His mock average is about 9th. So again, if the Spurs wanted to, they could take him there at 8th. Again, a really good shooter, ready to go right now. I think he could start at the NBA level. Unfortunately for him, the issue with him is that he's a little bit older than a lot of these prospects. He's already 24 years old. And so, you know, when he's on his rookie scale contract, you know, the Spurs, he doesn't quite fit the age of some of the other Spurs' young players there, like Victor Wembanyama, like Devin Vassell, Jeremy Sohan, those kind of players. So Wemby Vassell, yes, but not Sohan and Wemby. So anyway, he's another option there if you're looking to fill the small forward role for San Antonio, because we know that, you know, Julian Champagne's starting there right now, but there could be an upgrade there at that position. And so maybe the Spurs look to the draft there. If the Spurs are looking for a point guard, okay, so there should be some players here available for San Antonio. with either the fourth or eighth pick. So the first player is Nikola Topic of Cervena Zvezda overseas. He is right now, his mock average is about sixth. So again, as long as nobody takes him to the top three, well, then he should be there for San Antonio at four. You know, if they decide to go with Topic, a really good player with just his passing ability is, like, you know, really, really insane. Sometimes some of the kind of passes that he's able to throw, his floor vision out there, he's really comfortable running the pick and roll in terms of passing the ball. Maybe not quite yet there at finishing at the rim or shooting wise, but you know, Nikola Topic is a big guard there at 6'6". He should be available there at four. Maybe by eight, he's probably gone off the board. So again, if the Spurs wanted Topic, they would have to take him at four. There's also Rob Dillingham out of Kentucky. A smaller guard, very crafty, can shoot off the dribble, has super quick speed, can get by different defenders. If a player's around his height, he can kind of, kind of like stick with them defensively and kind of just put a lot of pressure on them for the smaller players. Against players with big size, you know, they can't take him out of place different times. So again, just like Topic, Dillingham's mock average is about six. So again, if the Spurs want him, they probably have to take him with number four. If not, I think by eight, he's probably gone off the board. And then another player who's an option there with the fourth or eighth pick is Reed Shepard, also Dillingham's teammate there at Kentucky. He's more so, you know, he plays a lot of point guard for Kentucky. Really good shooter, very, you know, textbook shooting form for Reed Shepard. A little bit undersized there at the NBA level. Probably going to play, you know, he's more of a combo guard. Most likely it projects to be more like a backup type of point guard, but the Spurs could give him a shot if they really like him. And so he should be there. I think even by eight, most likely. Right now his mock average is seven. So again, if they really wanted Shepard, they could take him at four. If not, he might still be there at eight when San Antonio drafts. If the Spurs are looking to get a big, of course, the big who's most likely going to go number one, or at least in the top three, is going to be Alexander Sarr. So they're probably because they got fourth today in the lottery, they're not going to probably be able to get Sarr here. He'll probably be off the board before the fourth pick comes along. Right now, his mock average is second. But then there's Donovan Clingan, who could be interesting if the Spurs, again, want a big, more so like a five kind of player. Klingon's mock average is about fifth. I know I've seen him on some boards at second or third. But if he were to fall, you know, out of the top three, well, then he could be available for San Antonio. As I've kind of written about with Klingon, you know, the Spurs were to take a player like Klingon, it'd be more so to try the, you know, Minnesota Timberwolves type of model with two bigs right now that they're doing right now with, you know, with Rudy Gobert and Karl Anthony Towns. You could have Wemby be that very dynamic, you know, versatile inside outside kind of big for San Antonio. And then you could have Klingon be more so like that Rudy Gobert role, kind of just playing playing in the paint, kind of setting picks for teammates, setting off ball screens, those kind of things. And of course, defensively, I mean, they would really shut down the paint, Klingon and Wemby, but it's more so offensively, you know, how do they fit together? You know, we saw that Wemby really thrived as a five more so than playing alongside Zach Collins to start the season. Or if not, the Spurs could just have Klingon be you know, come off the bench, and then if that happens, then yes, they have a good backup center for you know, going forward into the future. But then they would have to probably start looking at Zach Collins trades just, you know, because it would be pointless to have two bigs there at the five or three you know, bigs there at the five. So there's Klingon, who might be available, like I said, at four if the Spurs had interest in maybe you know, trying out the Minnesota Timberwolves type model right now with two bigs. If you're looking for a shooting guard, there's Stephon Castle out of UConn. Really good defensive guard, 6'6", ready to go, I think, defensively at the NBA level, has really good body size to really put pressure on opponents. His offense is still kind of developing. You know, he doesn't quite have an outside shot just yet. And then kind of inside, he can be a little inconsistent when he's attacking. Right now, his mock average is seven. So I would say, you know, he could potentially be there at eight for the Spurs if they really like him. You know, I don't know if they would try to choose him with the fourth pick, but if not, I think seven, eight is where he might be still on the board. And then lastly, if the Spurs are looking for more so like a power forward kind of player, there's Modest Bouzelis. His mock average is sixth. So he's a player who I've seen kind of go early in the mock. So, you know, they might have to take him at four. If not, he'll be gone by eight off the board. So Bouzelis, 6'10 big. I don't know if he would start with San Antonio just because they already have Jeremy Sohan, and the issue for Bouzelis is he's really versatile defensively, really helps out with his help side defense in the paint, kind of shuffles his feet very well. But again, for him as well, it's more so that issue of his shot's just not quite there yet. It's still developing. So again, I don't think that it would work for the Spurs to start both Sohan and Bouzelis alongside Wemby. So most likely Bouzelis would fill what I think is a position of need, which is that backup four spot. So I think he would quickly fill that spot for San Antonio. Again, that's if they would like to take him there at four, because I don't think by eight he'll still be on the board. And then another player who's more so mocked at his mock average at eight is Cody Williams out of Colorado. I haven't done a lot of research on him, but I'm going to definitely be writing about him. I just wanted to dig into some tape and stats and things like that and see what kind of player Williams projects to be. Again, he would be more so a player if the Spurs had interest of taking there with that second pick. So again, those are just some early projections of some draft prospects of you know where they are by position and where they're kind of at right now in different mocks. And like I said, as the weeks go on into the next month of June, we're going to see players either fall out of some players fall out of the lottery, or maybe some players move up that weren't in the lottery right now, their projections. One thing I do want to note about what the Spurs will get, since they now have two top 10 picks, is one of the changes the CBA made was that teams players within certain draft ranges, the Spurs are going to get access to their medical information and, testing, mobility kind of information. They're going to get a lot more access. And in the past, players and agents, sometimes they would hold off providing some of this access to teams if they didn't want the player to get drafted to that team. But now that the Spurs have two top 10 picks, they're going to, by this new rule in the CBA, they're going to have access to all these players that I just discussed today. They're going to be able to see their records and their medical and things like that. So that's one of the new interesting wrinkles here with the changes to the new CBA, whether that these players or their agents can't hide anything from a team if they don't want that player to go to a certain team. And then just looking at the second round right now, we do know that the Spurs are going to have the 35th pick in the second round. That's their own pick. And then they're also going to have the 48th pick via the Los Angeles Lakers. So again, the Spurs will have four picks here in this upcoming draft starting in late June. So again, that's kind of where everything lies with the Spurs after the lottery results. All right, so now for our next topic, I want to talk about the Spurs' updated cap sheet, because in my previous projections, I can only project where might their picks land in the first round, because those players will have cap holds. But now that we actually know exactly where those picks are going to land at four and eight, we can actually put in their cap holds for those rookie players on the Spurs' cap sheet. So in year one of whoever the Spurs drafted for, that player is going to make $9.1 million in his first year of his rookie scale contract. And then the player that's selected eighth is going to make $6.2 million in his first year of his rookie scale contract. So again, knowing this information now, we can kind of look at some different cap projections for the Spurs. So the first question is, what would the Spurs' cap space be if they let go of all their players on non-guaranteed contracts except Julian Champagne? So if they waived Charles Bassey, and then they also waived Devontae Graham, who has a partially guaranteed contract for about $2.8 million, plus they let all their free agents walk, but keep Julian Champagne, who's on a $3 million non-guaranteed deal, the Spurs could have $19.4 million in cap space. So again, $19.4 million if they keep Champagne. And again, I think they will keep Champagne. He was a starter this year. He's a player who kind of knows his role. He's a good, reliable shooter for the team. And whether he starts again next season or he comes off the bench, the team knows they can trust him. And he's on a really good team-friendly contract there at just $3 million coming into this next season. So again, I don't see them waiving Champagne in any kind of case. So right now, their cap space projects to be $19.4 million. So again, $19.4 million is the most they can open up with these two picks added to the team. That is still more than the $12.8 million non-tax mid-level exception. So it's about $7 million more to go chase some free agents or a free agent. And then also, they would still, even if they use this $19 million on a free agent or free agents, they still have the $8 million room exception as well to use to go sign a free agent as well. And I believe this year, in this next iteration of the CBA, they can now actually not only use the room exception to trade to sign a player, but they can actually acquire a player into the room exception. It's one of the new wrinkles for a team that has cap space like San Antonio. So again, $19.4 million with Champagne. If they were to waive Champagne, again, I think this is doubtful. All they open up is $21.3 million. So you're not really opening up that much because you're even though Champagne's gone, there's still a roster charge there of like $1.1 million on the cap sheet. So again, it's about $2 million more that you open up by waiving Champagne. So I think that overall that they're going to end up keeping Champagne regardless. And again, same circumstances where they have $8 million of the room exception. a question I've seen on Twitter that people have asked me is, you know, how much could they open up if Zach Collins were to get traded? So again, this is a scenario where Zach Collins gets moved to another team, probably have to attach him, you know, a pick or picks with his contract to get him moved because he's barely starting his new extension at $16.7 million. If they were to do that move, again, move Zach Collins and not take back any salary, the Spurs can open up $35 million in cap space. Again, doing all of these similar moves, waiving Graham, waiving Bassey, letting all free agents walk, but keeping Champagne, that's $35 million in cap space. And so $35 million is interesting because that now gets you to the amount of close to the amount of a max player who's barely on their first max contract, which would be 0 to 6 years in the league. Those players, the max to sign them is $35.2 million. The Spurs would be about right at $35 million, so slightly under that amount. So again, they really wanted to go sign a certain player that's young, to a big deal. That would be what it would have to take is trading a player like Zach Collins to open up that $35 million in cap space. And then one thing I want to note about something that Mark Stein kind of tweeted during the lottery was that he says that that during the ESPN broadcast, someone mentioned that the Spurs, maybe one of their plans this offseason might be to add a veteran point guard to help a young guard point guard to grow. And so that's interesting because we do know that there's been some rumors that they might have interest in Chris Paul if he ends up getting bought out by the Warriors before, I believe it's June 30th as their deadline to make that decision. So if a veteran player like Chris Paul becomes a free agent, the Spurs have multiple ways to try to sign him if they are really interested, such as using some of this $19.4 million of cap space, or if he'd be okay with taking the $8 million room exception, that's also an option. So the Spurs could, again, add a player like Chris Paul via signing him in free agency. And then on top of that, you know, drafting a young player who's like 19 years old, such as Nikola Topic or Rob Dillingham, and then letting that player maybe play, get some minutes and kind of just learning under Chris Paul and seeing what he does, a veteran in the league, for multiple years. And of course, as I've talked about before, this is always going to be a two-way decision in terms of both the team would want to have Chris Paul, but then also Chris Paul would want to join a young team like the Spurs to, yes, get that opportunity to play with a player like Wemby, but probably passing up some chances of joining like a contender to try to win a championship next season, considering his age. So again, those are kind of some moves that they can make. If not Chris Paul, they still, again, have, there's some veteran point guards out there. I'm just trying to think of some players that are available, like Tyus Jones, Trey Jones's brother. They could go and sign a player like Tyus Jones, and then still, again, draft a young point guard like a Topic or Dillingham or a Reed Shepherd, and then have that player, Ty Jones, kind of work with that player alongside Trey Jones to help those kind of players. So that's also an option, considering that rumor was put out there, or that tweet by Mark Stein. Another thing that the Spurs could do is with these two picks is really if they want to go like star hunting, you know, trying to trade for a big, big name player, who knows who that player is, then they could, use one or two of these draft picks that they just got and move them into a trade deal. Again, that's another option. They don't have to draft anybody with these two picks. They could end up, they could maybe have a verbal agreement of a trade before the trade, before draft night. And then of course, draft for those teams of those players, whoever the teams want, again, if they wanted to, acquire a big name player here. So if again, that's another option that the Spurs could have as well. Maybe not even drafting a player, maybe just using these picks, to try to add to a trade package. If that's also what they want to do. So again, we'll kind of see what they end up doing here with these two picks, whether they want to use them to draft players or to maybe put them in different trade packages. So again, that's kind of something we'll watch as well. All right, so now for our final topic. So again, I know that it's been quite a while since I last recorded a Spurs cast episode, but so I did miss a lot of news here and notes, but it's just some things that happened over the break since I last, not really a break. I mean, since the offseason, the Spurs, there's not much going on right now with the Spurs out of the since they didn't make the playoffs and their season's officially over. Anyway, obviously you've probably seen this already. Victor Wembanyama ended up winning the Rookie of the Year award. He was a unanimous winner for that award. I mean, we knew by January that it was Wemby's Wemby was not going to lose that award. I know that the first 2 months, he struggled a little bit, and Chet Holmgren had won the Rookie of the Month for those first 2 or 3 months of the season. But then after that, Wemby completely took over, especially once he went to the five, and the Spurs had a really good ending to the season in terms of their win loss record. And he was putting up, just monster numbers night after night after night. His highlights were going viral almost every single night. You couldn't miss any Wemby action. And so of course, this wasn't really too much of a surprise that Wemby was a unanimous Rookie of the Year winner, the third player to win the award from the Spurs organization, joining Tim Duncan and also David Robinson. So again, Wemby ended up winning the Rookie of the Year award. The other award that I was real interested to see the results were the Defensive Player of the Year award. So Wemby didn't win this award. It was Rudy Gobert who won the award. I was a little surprised. I thought for sure he'd get more votes for first place than he actually did. So he ended up getting second. I mean, that's a compliment to him. The fact that he was only 19, 20 years old starting his rookie career, and he ends up finishing second in Defensive Player of the Year voting is just a really, you know, compliment to him that he did that in just year one of his career. But I was more so surprised at from what I had seen from some of the media members, I thought that the percentage of votes for first place would have been a little bit higher. So basically he got about 20% of the votes there. I thought it would have been like Gobert 60-40 or like Gobert, somewhere around that range, but no, it was 80-20 Gobert, or mostly like around 80-20. So again, Victor didn't win the Defensive Player of the Year award, but again, just the fact that he finished second and was right there, right behind Gobert, their fellow Frenchman, for the award for Defensive Player of the Year. And then finally, they haven't announced when this next award's coming, but we do expect that Wemby will make one of the all defensive teams. I would say he's a lock for the first team. Just the fact that, you know, it's positionless this year, the voting, and then the fact that he was second behind only Gobert in Defensive Player of the Year voting. So I think that Wemby is definitely going to get one more award honor here for the end of season awards, and that's going to be his name on one of the all defensive teams. Probably first team is what I would expect here for Wemby. All right, so I want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Spurs Cast. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review on YouTube and your favorite podcast apps. This episode was written, recorded, and produced by Paul Garcia. From all of us at Project Spurs, stay safe and have a great day.